Hello, welcome to episode 77 of the Going Upstairs podcast from Opening Up Cricket. We've got our 2022 version of the pre-season series to go through in the next set of episodes. Those who've been listening for a while will recall these from the year previous. And what we do here is have a chat with a county cricketer or two in some cases, and try to unpack a little bit about their mental approaches to the game and how they deal with things which can affect us in cricket, but also give us lessons for other areas of our life. And the real focus here is on everyone showing a little bit of vulnerability, sharing a bit about when things get difficult, strategies they use to cope, or things that are really important for positive mental health. So in this episode, the first of the series, we've got Kent keeper batsman Ollie Robinson. And what we talked about was the demands of pro cricket and how he manages that, his preparation as both a keeper and a batter, and staying mentally healthy. I really appreciated his time. He was nice and honest and gave plenty of food for thought. Hope you enjoy it. Okay, so joining me is Ollie Robinson of Kent County Cricket Club. First of all, Ollie, how are you?
Yeah, very well, thank you, mate. How are you?
Yeah, not too bad, thanks. We're in this time now where, certainly for the amateur cricket player, cricket's becoming a lot closer to the front of our mind. But for you, having been in pre-season, I guess it's just now the case of the light at the end of the tunnel, I suppose.
Yeah, it is. It's been a strange one this year because it's kind of been we have another an overseas trip this year. We've had the tent at Canterbury, so you've gone from the before Christmas, the fitness side of things, and the indoor school, and wanting to get outside. And then you get in the tent outside, and the wickets start to die, and it's like, oh, I can't wait to get outside again. So it's always that, like, you always want that one extra thing. And it's been a really good transition this year from going indoors to outdoors to then onto wickets that are doing quite a lot. Really looking forward. We've got our first practice game on Monday. So that should be quite interesting. But with days like today when the weather's lovely, it's very, very appetizing. But some days it's a bit grey and cloudy and it's not much interest. But no, obviously, weather like today, you kind of can't wait to get out there.
Yeah, the first thing that we're going to discuss is around managing the demands of professional cricket. So you've kind of touched on a couple of things there about how much preparation goes into it. So is there any element for you, and I'm thinking mentally as well as physically, of like how you have to maybe at times hold yourself back because you know you have such a long season and so much going on? So at this time, what's the process that you're going through with that whole season ahead of you?
I think that aspect comes from your support staff. I think that's where they're so important, because they've kind of seen seasons previous, and they kind of, you adapt each person's individual program to how last year went. So if someone got injured early in the year, maybe that's because of they did too much too early. So actually, I think it's that slow build up and not peaking too early, because at times, like mentally indoors, you get to a point where you bat so much and do so much and feel $1 million after 3 weeks, say, and you've still got 6 more weeks of being indoors. It's how you keep yourself fresh and how you keep that hunger and drive to keep wanting to get better when you're almost ready to start playing. And it's a fine balance between not doing too much and doing enough. And I think that's where your experienced players come in as well. I remember Joe Denley, like, kind of sat us down as a batting group and said, right, don't burn yourself out. Like, don't hit for the sake of hitting balls. Like, make sure every session you go to, you try and get something out of it rather than just batting. So I think from that side of things, it's really important to almost have a drive every session, not just turn up and bat for the sake of batting.
And with you, with the gloves as well, how is that balanced between not, I guess, burning out in both of them?
I guess it's a bit like bowling and batting and sort of your all-rounders. And for me, it's mentally staying switched on for the whole session. Because some days you have your running session at 7:45 in the morning before the school kids get to the track. So you've got to get your session in early. And then you might have a gym session planned. and then you have a bat and then you keep, or however way that works in your schedule. But it's so much comes from the preparation you do beforehand, what you eat, when you eat, the previous day's worth of eating, the sleep you get, and it's draining, and it really does get you. And I guess it's only a good thing though, because I think that builds you up for the season, and that's what it's going to be like. Whether that be, there's times last year I've kept for 100 overs and then opened the batting, and it's that similar mindset of, right, your next thing's, you've done that job, but you've got a 15 minute turnaround now, and then you've got to go into your next job. And it's having that balance of switching on and off, and not focusing the whole time. I think that's really important for me, is knowing when to turn it up and down.
And is there any particular technique that you use to get that switch between being on and being off?
I think it's just a matter of knowing that you only have to really concentrate for, I don't know, 5 seconds really per ball, and actually in between those balls, just getting your mind away, singing a song in your head, or, you know, I feel like when I'm batting my best, I've always got a song stuck in my head, and actually just keeps playing over and over and over. And I know a few other lads have walked off and said the same, but they do that. But for me, keeping wise, it's very much you focus on an area on the pitch, and your concentration is probably about 80% when the ball's in the bowler's hand, especially a spinner, and then it bounces. And as it bounces, you're 100% concentrating for that moment. And that is your area. So I think it's knowing when to do it. And it's harder. It's something that you learn with experience, I guess, and speaking to people. People do it differently. I know Pajara, for example, he watches the ball all the way around the field from start to finish. And for me, I think that would drain me. But I'd switch off, chat to your partner at the other end, in between balls, keeping, chat to your slip cord and have a laugh and a joke, keep it light. I guess it's just staying fresh, really.
Mm. And you say that's something, with a bit of experience you learn. Was there a time earlier on in your career, even perhaps as a junior, where you did find the concentration in both disciplines a bit of a challenge or a problem even?
Yeah, massively. I think growing up, I think when you make that transition from playing 20 over cricket, 25 over cricket, to playing adult cricket or junior cricket at county level, where you go from 20 overs to 50 overs, it's a massive jump in concentration levels. To just concentrate for an hour and a half to 3 hours is completely different. And I think I don't know how, if there's a way you can almost learn concentration, but I think it comes down to the individual, and people do it in different ways. I was always the type of person who just, right, this is my job at this point, I've got to switch on from now. And some people do it really well, some people really struggle with it, and this, it doesn't make them any better or worse a player. But obviously, you look at the best batters in the world, and like Root, for example, in this most recent test, he's just grinded out 150 again, and his concentration is so good. It is a challenge, and I can't think of when there was a point where I thought, right, this, I've got it. I still don't think to this day that you can fully say I'm 100% concentrated, because there's so many different factors, whether that be what you've done the day before, your mindset, your form. I mean, the form plays a massive part. So I think actually if you try and concentrate so hard when you're not in the greatest of form, it actually becomes harder and even more draining, because you're almost searching for it, and it just doesn't work.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. That kind of natural thing, whether it be batting, bowling, fielding or keeping, where people almost don't seem to have to think about it. It just flows out of what they're doing. And I can see that particularly with wicket keeping, because the state can be something which you then have the opportunity to mull over for potentially hours afterwards.
Yeah.
How much does that affect you if you do make a bit of a mistake, a drop catch or a fumble take?
Yeah, I think a drop catch is obviously a lot worse, because you're almost every run that bloke then scores, you're kind of thinking, oh, God. Every time he gets close to that 100, you're like, oh, no, that's my fault. And it's that. But it's a bit like goalkeeping, one mistake, you've got to forget it. If you, the more you dwell on it, probably the more likely you are to drop another one. Actually, if you can just get away from it, park it, move on, it changes like your whole mindset. Because no one means to drop a catch. Like no one's ever gone out of their way to drop a catch. It's not even done it deliberately. So, and like it's not like we don't do the work. You've done all the prep to get to that point. And if your execution is not quite there on the day, then so be it. But I guess that's what separates the best, really. Those opportunities is, can you bounce back and take the next one?
One thing that's always made me think, just in terms of playing cricket for supposedly fun at the weekend, is if someone, particularly a wicketkeeper, does drop a chance, how would you, just as one individual, be best supported with that? Because some people don't want people talking about it or maybe giving them some words, but then if you're completely silent, it might feel like you're giving them
a shoulder. It's a strange one, that, because sometimes people are like, oh, don't worry about it, tap on the back, and almost you feel like they're a bit like patronizing with it, and it's a bit like, I sometimes just like, you always sense it in the cordon a little bit, like everyone goes quiet for a bit, no one really says anything. So I tend to just, because I quite like to stay pretty level, with not too high, not too low. And actually, I think that puts me in quite good stead, because if you're really high when you take a good catch, but really low when you're not, then it's, you're always going to have that complete like imbalance. Whereas actually, if you stay level, then people know you. They know how you like that, like how you deal with the negativity and what you need. And I guess that's where the best teams do it. But if I know Jack Leaning at second slip drops one, I know what he wants. He's not going to want me to go and tap him on the back. He might just want me to leave him alone for an over or so. So it's just knowing the individual, I think.
Absolutely, yeah. Now, some of those things are, I guess, key demands of professional cricket, so much on the result of what's happening. What's your approach in terms of between games? Because they can come thick and fast, but there's still enough break if you do have a setback. What do you look to try and get yourself up then to go again?
I think I do it quite a lot. I always kind of watch highlights of when I've done well, especially if I know I've done well against a certain team. I'll look at last year's game. We've got so much footage now. You can go back and watch last year's game. Say you've got 50-odd. You go back and watch your shots through, you actually say, oh, actually, I remember that. There's just that positive recall of knowing you can do it. Yeah, so say we play a Thursday to Sunday, normally have the Monday off. We'll probably have a pretty hard training session Tuesday, a light one Wednesday, and then game Thursday. So I think if you've got any work that you need to get done, you do it on the Tuesday. The Wednesday's nothing you can do then is going to really change how you play. All the work's done before that. And the morning of the game, you have a few throws in the morning. So I think it's just having that routine and knowing what works for you and not searching for something. If your routine works for you, there's no point changing it for one game just because you struggled last game. Actually keeping it pretty steady. And actually that keep your mind pretty steady as well.
It never ceases to surprise me how much there is in cricket which just corresponds with what's good for people's mental health and fitness generally. So when you mention there, like routine, something that you can rely on, I think that's something that even outside of the sport people can get a grip of. What do you do in terms of routine when you're out of the season? Do you try and keep something fairly similar, or do you take a complete step away from it and do something else?
So I think there's different phases of off season. I think October, when we've just got a month off, I just tend to just not even think about anything, just do what I want when I want, so be it. And then actually from November onwards, you kind of start switching on, even up to Christmas to some extent. You're kind of a little bit, not lazy with it, but a little bit more relaxed. And then after Christmas is kind of like a switch on for me. So actually a few of us this year, we thought we were eating really well and like doing all right. And then we get our skin fold testing and they're all a little bit high. And then we had like a little challenge between us to see who could lose in like a healthy way as quick as possible. And we all got professional help and went to different people. And actually it was small changes in our diets and stuff like that that we probably did, but just ate things at the wrong times and whatever. But yeah, it's, I think you do need that routine and that just almost like, we are clocks really as people, like everything, we all like routine. We all, well, some, I know some don't, but I know I do. I work very well. If I know I'm doing this at this time and that at that time, it's, you have a plan for the day, I guess. But I guess sometimes it is not, it's nice just to not have a plan and just do what you want, I guess. But no, I think you have to keep a little bit of routine. I try to, Matt Milnes, I lived with him last year, and he's quite big on, if you start your day lazy, the rest of your day is lazy. But actually, if you get up and do something, then actually the rest of your day kind of follows in that route. Whereas if you're lazy to start with, it kind of always carries on that way. Mm. So I've kind of actually, one thing I've taken from it is probably that.
Yeah, that's useful. Yeah. Now, one other thing I'm going to ask in this sort of theme, probably the most common thing that young players, but also older players, get concerned about is how they can deal with their nerves around cricket or the pressure that they might feel. Are you someone that gets nervous or feels pressure particularly, or do you find a way of managing that so it doesn't affect you?
I think I'm pretty good at managing my nerves. There's always nerves. I think you need nerves. If you don't have nerves, then I'm not sure you're all in it for the right reasons. I think every time I go out to bat, there isn't always an element of, oh, a bit nervous here. I really want to do well today. And the pressure of it, I thrive off pressure. I've always felt like in my position, I've always kind of had to prove people wrong. And that pressure, for some reason, I don't know why, but I love it. I love that thought of, if you tell me I can't do something, I'm gonna show you I can do it. And it's that drive, that positive drive that gets me going. But some people go the other way with that and think, oh, actually, you tell me I can't do that, I'm probably right. But no, I've always had that little bit of nerves, but not uncontrollable. I've always had the ability to control them and keep them under wraps and use them in a positive way, I guess.
Yeah, okay. And this links in with the topic of preparation as a keeper and a batsman. So if you're able to like thrive on those bigger situations and the pressure things, bearing in mind we have spoken about routine and that seems like a bit of a theme here, is there a set of things that you like to go to in that preparation? And I think what I'm meaning here really is the immediate preparation for a game. So on the game day, what you're going to do as you get ready to go out and bat in, say, half an hour's time?
I think, as I said, I think just consistency, not so much what you do, it's like why you do it. And like it might sound weird, but you sometimes hit balls just for the sake of hitting balls, but you do it because that's your routine. Like there's some days I turn up, I don't feel like I need to hit 20 balls, but I do because that's what I do every day. I know come in at 9, I hit for 10, 15 minutes in the morning, have a few throwdowns, go and join my slip group and do a little catching stuff with them, go inside, have a coffee, sit down. And it's kind of just that consistency and the knowing that that's what's going to happen. And I feel like if that's taken away from me, sometimes I struggle. But yeah, it's no like, I try and keep it as consistent. I'm pretty flexible. Like if something doesn't quite happen, I'm not going to like blow up and like, oh, I can't do it, I can't play today. But there's, within reason, like if something's completely taken out of my control, I kind of get a little bit like, well, don't feel quite prepared. But it's being in that position, give yourself the best chance to perform. I think whether that be what facilities available, might have rained, net wickets might have got wet, you can't have a net. How can I adapt and change my preparation to give myself the best chance to play? I think that's the key. It's giving yourself the best chance and not getting too worked up if something doesn't quite go your way.
And is there anything that you try to use if some of those things are really out of your control, or it's a particularly hectic situation. It might be a really intense period of a game and you might sense yourself maybe losing a little bit of that calm and that routine. What do you look towards to try and restore a little bit of calm and consistency?
I guess it's almost lower your expectations of what to expect to yourself. Like sometimes you walk into a situation where you walk into a tough net and it's nipping around and you're not going to whack a load of balls. You're going to have to leave a lot and block a lot and accept being beaten. But I think it's, for me, it's that actually, this might not be the pitch for me to do that, but actually if I get through this session, I might only score 20 runs or so, but if I get through it, I've actually done my job. And I think that's put me in a pretty good place, is actually understanding it's not always going to be perfect, and lower your expectations of yourself and you'll probably come out the other side in a positive light anyway. But don't get too far ahead of yourself. Like, do what's there before you get to there. So don't chase the outcome before you do the base work, I guess.
Okay. Yeah. Now, what we've spoken about so far has been your approach to everything, how you deal with things individually and the different mechanisms and just approaches. Because we've got the benefit of playing a team sport, what is available in your dressing room and your playing group that helps you through some of the more challenging times as well?
I think the easiest thing are your mates, I guess. You've got your mates with you all day, every day. You can, they know you better than most people in their dressing room. Some teams are blessed to have a psychologist there 24/7. Whereas like for us at Kent, we've always got someone who's there with me to speak to them, but never necessarily at the ground, but they're always a phone call away, or they come in every month or fortnight or whatever. So there are support links and there's ways of going about it if you are having an issue or you need to speak. But I feel like at Kent we're a pretty close group. And actually, if I had any issues, I'd go to one of my mates that I play with and we'd talk it out and we'd probably get somewhere. I probably, for me, that works. It might not work for other people. They might like to take it externally and go elsewhere. But actually, I'm pretty comfortable in my relationships within the group that I can have those chats if I need to.
Yeah, I'm always fascinated by what makes people feel they can share a bit of themselves with someone. And I guess it sounds like those relationships that you have with friends and teammates is comfortable enough that it doesn't feel like it's out of the ordinary to maybe speak a little bit about something.
Yeah, for me, I think it's if you have a chat with someone and they give you something back as well, like if you're both being vulnerable with each other, I think that helps. I think massively the fact that you know that they speak to me sometimes, and actually I can speak to them, and they're not going to judge me because they've done the same to me. That I feel like that type of relationship is really good. That you can say it, not be judged, because they've done the same back to you, and you just got that vulnerability of each other that you can say anything and it won't be that bad.
Man, okay, great. This brings us with our other theme here about the idea of staying mentally healthy, because a lot of what we discuss in terms of preparation for cricket is a lot about what the physical things are. You've mentioned around your looking after your calorie intake and all kinds of things like that. What works for you to make sure that your mind's as healthy as it can be?
I think you have to get away from it as much as you can and not get yourself too wrapped up in it. End of the game, it's a game of cricket. We play it because we love it. But I think you have to take a break from it. A bit like anything in life, really. You can't solely focus on one thing 100% all the time, because you will just burn yourself out and you'll get to a point where you won't enjoy it anymore. And I think it's keeping it fresh and always challenging yourself a little bit and giving yourself a little goal and being positive with yourself. I feel like so many times players, coaches highlight negative things about people. Actually, highlight positive stuff about each other as well. And if someone's had a good day, let them know they've had a good day and celebrate each other's success. I think that's what builds that team unity and that vulnerability that I spoke about, is if you can celebrate someone else's success, actually that's an amazing feature to have as a person. You can, like, maybe even if they're in the same position as you and you're fighting for the same spot, or you're both batters, like, not feeling, oh, I've missed out today, I only got 20 but he got 100, actually celebrate his 100, because when you get 100, you want him to do the same, because it's nice when that happens. But yeah, I think you have to get away from stuff and just switch off every now and then and let your hair down.
Yeah, and that's ticking so many of the boxes that are there in terms of, if clinicians are talking about what good mental health is, this connecting with people, this giving, like you said there, supporting other people, and sport, particularly team sports like cricket, give us that. One thing I do want to ask about that side of things is, generally speaking, the average person who plays it for a bit of fun, our life isn't based around physical fitness. So we might go to the gym and do that for ourselves.
Yeah.
How easy is it for you, given that exercise is sort of your job, to be able to do some things in that area for just pleasure, rather than thinking this is to reach a certain goal for cricket?
I think it's tough, because sometimes you do it for other people. It's not, you don't doing it for yourself, like, but I think we're pretty good at it as a group. We're all pretty driven. Everyone wants to, we're not just doing it to tick a box, we're doing it because we want to get better. And actually, our fitness individually helps the team as a whole. It is. Sometimes you do think, oh, I'm just doing this to tick a box. But I think it's easy to get sucked into that. And actually, you've got to look at the bigger picture. And a bit like what I was saying with the calorie intake and whatever earlier, but you're doing it for yourself as well, because everyone likes to look in the mirror and think, oh, I actually look right. No one. You never like to look at me and go, oh, God. But so actually that, because in a roundabout way, you are doing it for yourself, because if you look in the mirror, you feel, oh, okay, look, all right. You're naturally going to have a bit more of a positive mindset, I think. So I think it's just take a step back from it. Actually look at, well, why am I doing this? And actually it's for the bigger picture. It's not just to tick a box and pass a test. Like, so many people, like, say your targets are 18.7 on a yo-yo test. Like, sometimes people just get to the 18.7 and say, thank you, I'm done. Actually test yourself, challenge yourself, see how far you can actually go. And I've always had this chat with people, is with like the yo-yo and the bleep test, if it didn't tell you what level you were, do you think you'd do better or worse? It's that knowing, like, you can just drop out because you got to a certain point. Actually, if it didn't tell you, do you think you'd do better? And I don't know what the answer to that is, because I've never done it. There isn't that available, but yeah, I don't know. It's an interesting theory to have, I don't know.
Yeah, I like that. And I think that's an overlooked area of, say, mental health and fitness, that idea of when we are able to pushing ourselves out of our comfort zone to build that resilience for when we need it. My final question then is about probably the thing that comes at the most when we talk about mental health or well-being, whether it be in cricket or anywhere else, and that's the importance of, when we need it, asking for help. And we've touched on that talking with a teammate and the process that you mentioned there. But let's say it was something with your game. Of course, you've got support staff there whose job it is to help you. But realistically, how easy is it to be able to be vulnerable and say, at the moment, this is something that I am struggling with? What goes through your mind with that? Is there a worry about, is this going to make me appear to be out of form and be dropped?
I think that is always a risk that but like, if you go to the head coach and say, oh, I'm struggling with this, and they go, oh, actually, yeah, good point, you probably sit out next game, it's not going to help you. But I think, as much as it is, it's important to speak to your coaches if you're struggling or whatever. But also, I'm quite lucky. My stepdad played cricket. And I've always kind of spoke to him about it, and I feel like I've got good contacts that I can speak to if I need to away from Kent, who know me as a person and that's seen me grow, I guess, as a player throughout my years. And I feel like I always could go to them if I needed anything, and actually it doesn't impact anything at Kent or selection. So I think it is important, because you do get a little bit of conflict of interest otherwise. But I guess people are different. Sometimes, different coaches are different and whatever, but sometimes they can separate the two. I think it is tough to do that if you know someone's struggling. Like if you're a psychologist and a head coach at the same time, it's a bit of a conflict of interest. If you know that one of your top four is struggling and really battling, and there's another lad who's young, done all right, and coming through, you're probably going to go, oh, okay, well, he's struggling, let's go with him. So I guess that opening up thought of who you speak to is, you've almost got to be a little bit selective. And I think the coaches know that as well. They're not expected to for you to come to them with that point, because there is that element of differentiation. But yeah, I guess people are different and coaches are different. So I can only speak from my experiences and how I've kind of seen it.
Yeah, I mean, it's important to have that bit of reality in this situation, that we speak so much about the importance of talking, and that there's no getting away from that. But yeah, people want to work out who they think is the best person to speak to.
Of course, yeah.
And what it's taken from.
It's like the classic, when you're at home, if you want to do something as a kid, like if your dad's a bit more lenient than your mum, you're probably going to ask your dad. So it's that, that's what I relate it to. And you kind of, you go to the person that you think you're probably going to get the best answer from. So yeah, I think it's just weighing it up, yes.
Okay, absolutely right then. So as we finish, 2022 season coming up, are you someone that sets yourself goals, or is it just keeping with that process and doing what you can and trusting your preparation?
Yeah, I think I'm not going to get to that point in my career if I don't do this stuff well. So actually nail the basics, nail the stuff at this level, and hopefully that will take care of itself and take me to the next level. Because the minute you think you look too far, you start searching and trying to do things that aren't really in your little bubble. So yeah, for me, I'm just going to focus on my stuff at Kent, hopefully play well this year and see what happens, I guess.
Brilliant. Well, look forward to following that across this season. And Ollie, thanks for joining us for this
pre-season. No worries. Thank you very much for having me.